Now, we're going to be thinking about this man, Naaman, and the little servant girl. And as I said, I think she is one of the most attractive characters that we have in the whole of Scripture. And I just think so highly of this little girl for all of the experiences that she had and the testimony that she made. Somebody once said to me, and I think it's right, you see what God will do to make sure that his people has fellowship. God took that little girl to Syria and made her a slave in that country. And then he saved Naaman so that she would have someone to worship and fellowship with. Isn't that amazing? I think so. What a wonderful God we have to so provide for that little girl, that he gave her someone as great and as honourable in the country of Syria to be her guardian and to be her fellow believer and worshipper with her in a strange and foreign country. Here we discover a man called Naaman, a man who needed help. Now, if anybody was to look at Naaman from the outside, he had everything. He had everything that a man could ever want. He had greatness, he had prestige, he had honor. He was brave, he was well respected and popular in his country. Do you know that his name might even mean good looking? He had everything. He had everything. He was a mighty man. He was a man of importance. A man of honor and greatness in his country. A man by whom the Lord had delivered his country. I think that's interesting too. That shows us that God is at work in the countries of this world. This wasn't in Israel. This wasn't in Judah. This wasn't amongst the people of God. But God had delivered Syria by this man. And so we see God's hand at work amongst the nations of this world, raising nations up and bringing nations down, such as the God that we worship. And here we see that God is always at work and he is always accomplishing his purpose and doing his will and managing this world for the benefit of his people. Naaman had been used to defend and protect Syria, and he was a man who was known for his bravery. He was loyal to his king and his country. He was honorable amongst his people. He was highly respected. But the Bible uses something else to describe Naaman. And there's a little but word. And it says, but Naaman was a leper. So from the outside, he looked great. From the outside, he was great. But in his body, he hid a secret. In his body, he was a leper. Now, leprosy was and is still, in some countries, a terrible disease. It is a disease, we were talking about it a few weeks ago at the rescue mission. Sean brought a fine word concerning leprosy, and he described there how it destroyed the skin, how it consumed the flesh, and how it entered into the very bones and the marrow and ate away everything that it contacted. And though Naaman seemed to be a man who had many blessings and benefits in this life, that leprosy that he had in his body would lead to great loss. It would lead to great shame. It would lead to the destruction of his life and the life of his family and friends. It would be to the destruction of his house. And ultimately, it would bring him down to death. No one in Syria could cure him. Naaman needed help, but he didn't know where to find it. So here was a man who needed help. And here was a little girl who knew where he could get it. She's just a little servant girl. She's just a child. And yet surely she is one of the most fascinating characters in the whole of the Bible. She was stolen from her home. Can you imagine what that must have been like for a little girl? Getting grabbed by some man, maybe grabbing her by the hair and pulling her up and throwing her over his horse and riding away with her. And she's screaming and she's squealing for her mother and her father. And her mother and her father are searching for her. The enemy has come, destroyed the farm, destroyed the village, and they're shouting, they're out in the fields and they're shouting her name and they're saying, "Where are you? Where are you?" And you know what they're hoping? Oh, they're hoping that they find her alive. But if they can't find her alive, they're hoping that they find her dead. And she's taken. And she's captive. And she's in a strange land. And she's in the middle of the market square. And people are poking her and prodding her and deciding how much they will pay for her. And she doesn't know the language. And she doesn't know the customs. And she must have been heartbroken. And she must have been so fearful. But the Lord was with her. The Lord Jesus Christ loved that little girl. And I think that this is one of the most beautiful stories. Here is this little girl, lost to her parents, lost to her home, lost to her friends, transported into this foreign land, roughly handled, made a slave. And yet God was with her. And what a great contrast that there is between these two, brought in under the same roof, brought in by the providence of God into contact one with another. A great man in his country who worshipped idols, who was lauded and applauded, and yet who had a terrible disease hidden away in his body. And a poor little child who had nothing, and yet who trusted in the Lord. I love the confidence of this little child. I love her faith. I love that despite all that had happened to her, she still trusted the Lord. She still trusted the Lord. I want you to notice that. You know, I hear about people who say, "I couldn't trust God because of what has happened to me. I couldn't believe in such a God that would let that happen to me." You know what? This little servant girl story is for that person, and it's for you. If you could possibly think that you'll never trust God because of all the things that he's allowed to happen to you, then all you need to do is look at this 7-year-old. I don't know what age she is. Maybe, but it's probably not much more or different to that. Just a little child. And yet, she knew the Lord. She believed and she continued to believe in the power of God. Now remember what is happening in Israel at this time. Israel has fallen into idolatry. And yet there are still a few, like that Shulamite woman, like the sons of the prophets who came, or Baal Elisha, the man from Baal Elisha, who came and offered the first fruits to the prophet. But there are only a few. Israel is in idolatry. And it is those people who are that remnant that are kept that these terrible things are happening to. Here was a little girl, and yet her parents had taught her to love the Lord and to honor the prophet of God in the country. And yet it was their farm that was abused by the Syrians. It was their daughter that was taken by the Syrians. Just because we love the Lord doesn't mean to say we're going to be preserved from all the hard things in this world. But they had taught her well. And you may be small, and I may be small, and we may be young, and we may be poor, and we may be in difficult circumstances. But God will use us for his glory if we follow him in faith. That little girl said to her mistress, "The prophet of God in Israel could cure my master of his leprosy." Why do you think she said that? Do you think she had seen Elisha curing lepers before? How would she know that? Do you know that Elisha had never, ever cured a leper? He'd never done it. How did she know that he could? Do you know that the Lord Jesus Christ told the people of Capernaum that in the days of Elisha there were many lepers in Israel, but only Naaman the Syrian was healed? And she believed that her master could be. Oh, how the Lord was with her. She trusted in the power of God. So here's two people. I just want to mention another two people that we've got in this story, and then we'll wrap it up. There are two kings mentioned in this story. There's the king of Syria and the king of Israel. These two kings are mentioned only to show us that they had no power at all in this situation. They had no knowledge of what to do and no power to help. People think that they can solve their own problems. People think that they can manage the circumstances of their life. They can arrange things so that their life will get sorted out. We don't have the ability to sort our lives out, Shane. We just don't. We can't. The very kings of these countries were completely inadequate to sort the problem of this man, Naaman. And what they thought was, here's the king of Syria sends a letter and some money with Naaman and says to the king of Israel, "See that this man gets healed of his leprosy." And the king of Israel rends his clothes and says, "What, does he think I'm God that I can heal him?" I know what he's trying to do. He's trying to pick a fight. He wants to pick a fight with me, and he's using this man as a pretext. But the point is this, that the very kings didn't know what to do. And it was only the spiritual understanding of that little girl that was going to make the difference in that man's life. Leprosy in the Bible is a picture of sin. It begins small, and we try to hide it, but soon it spreads, and then it brings death. That's what sin does. You know, some of us are still young. It's lovely to see the youngsters coming along to church, but very soon you're going to be in a situation where you have to make decisions and choices for yourself. And some of those choices are going to go wrong. Some of those choices are going to be bad choices. That's just the way of life. That's just the things that happen to us in this life. And by the time we're a few years older, we will already be able to look back and see that little spot starting to get bigger and starting to get bigger. It spreads and it brings death. And we need to be cleansed of that sin. We need to have that sin dealt with. And we've learned from this story that money can't buy cleansing. Power can't gain cleansing. Even a will to have it removed won't do any good. Because Naaman certainly had a will to have this leprosy cleansed. What was he doing in another country with his servants and his money bags and his garments and clothes asking for healing? He wanted it to be healed. But only going to God through Jesus Christ will be the source of our cleansing for sin. Naaman made a false start here because he went to the wrong place. He should have gone to Elisha, the prophet of God. He went to the king of Israel. But Elisha heard about him. I don't know how. And he sent a message to the king of Israel. And he says, let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. And that's what we have to do. Let him now come. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way that we will have the sin problem of our lives dealt with. The gospel says, let those who are sick with sin, who need a cure, who need cleansing, come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we come, he will not turn us away. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, saith the Lord, and I will give you rest. We can only thank God for that little servant girl who kept the faith and pointed Naaman to her God for healing. And may we emulate that little girl in her trust of the Lord Jesus Christ. May God give us such faith and boldness to speak a word in season and a word of wisdom to needy sinners. Amen.